Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to know something. Well, I want you to know a lot of things, let's be honest. That's probably become apparent. One thing in particular. Know this. God is not fair. God is not fair. God is not fair in the way that we think the word fair works. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. This whole story today, it sets up this image of God thumbing his nose at what we would consider to be fair, at our human concept of fair. Maybe those first guys who got hired were eager. Maybe they woke up really early and they went out and they made sure to present themselves in the best way possible, and as such they got to be the first ones hired, and maybe they had the best credentials. Maybe they were the hardest workers. Maybe it was just dumb luck. They happened to be standing in the right place when the vineyard owner came by. Those late laborers, the ones who did not work as long, we have no reason to think they were lazy. We're not told that. Why are you still standing here? No one has hired us. It's a very honest answer. Right? Why are you still standing here? No one has hired us. What else are we supposed to do? They want to contribute. They want to be a part of it all. They want to be included, but they need a helping hand. And maybe someday I'll go off on a tangent here and we'll talk about society and the economy and all that fun stuff. That's not today's message. But we have no reason to think that those first ones who were hired were all that different from the last ones, other than just the order in which they were hired. We think in terms of limits. God thinks in terms of possibilities. We say, I got here first. My voice counts more. God says, I'm glad you're here. Nobody gets shafted in this story. You notice that, right? No one gets taken advantage of. I hope you see that. A fair wage was agreed upon. The standard daily wage was agreed upon at the start. The first people who were hired were perfectly happy with what they were getting until they saw what the next guy got. At issue is not you didn't give me enough. At issue is you did not give me more than that person. I want more than him. Why? Just because. Really, that's your answer? Well, I was here longer. Did I agree to pay you this amount and you said yes? Yeah. But you want more now? Yeah. Well, why? Just because. There's this comedian out there. His name is Louis C.K. And he can be a little blue, so I won't do much of his stuff. But he had a line once I remember him talking to his kids. He talks a lot about his kids and his bits. He talked about with his kids that he told them once, you don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if you have more, or if they have more than you. You look to see if they have enough. You don't look in your neighbor's bowl to see if they have more than you. You look to see if they have enough. A burnt out agnostic comedian should not understand the heart of Christ's message better than many self-proclaimed Christians. And yet I'd argue he does. You know, the vineyard owner could have prevented this whole thing, right? Did you see that?
Yeah.
You caught that? He easily could have prevented this from happening. This whole interaction never has to happen. The vineyard owner just has to do one thing. He just has to pay them in the order they were hired. Think about it. If he pays those first workers first, they're happy. They got what they wanted. They got what they said they would get, what they agreed upon. They walk away content, never knowing the difference. If he pays them in that order, there is no controversy. There is no parable. There's just agree to this, get paid, woohoo, we're done. Let's move on. He flaunted it. He totally flaunted it to those workers. I'm not sure if that counts as entrapment or not, but I mean, he completely flaunted it to them. I think he did it because we humans need to be reminded a lot. God's way is not fair. I'll explain it to you at home, Tabitha. God's way is not fair in the way that we think fairness should be. It's enough for all of you, he says. Stop worrying about that. Just focus on the big picture. Focus on the work, on the important stuff. There is enough for all of you. He talks about the kingdom of heaven at the start, right? For the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so often we've done this thing now in our minds where we hear those words, kingdom of heaven, and we just think about the end game. We think about death. We think about heavenly rewards and things like that. The kingdom of heaven is not just about death, it's about life. It's about how we live. It's about how we live this life on this planet, in Christ's light, in the here and now. And I'll be honest with you, and this won't shock you, I couldn't help but think a little bit about our current congregational conversations as I read this. How about the ways in which we approach the ministry of this place, this community of faith? What we value, how we value voices in and outside of this place. And you knew I was going to make that connection at some point. I'm kind of a broken record in that regard. We are in the mission of helping people connect to God. Right? I think. Am I right on that? If I'm wrong, I need to know and I need to be told soon because I've been going down the wrong road for quite a while. That's my understanding of what we are in the mission of, is helping people connect to God, helping people find new life in Christ. That is our mission. That is what we are about. That is our focal point, our goal. The lens through which we see the world, our big picture. That is our vineyard work. Right? Cool. We're in agreement. Awesome. We can't confuse the mission with the method. The mission and the method are not the same thing. How many of you have a car? Or have ever seen a car? Okay, that encompasses pretty much all of you.
Gotta be
more. Well, once upon a time in this country and across the world, people would have been riding in horses and buggies, right? But then someone invented the automobile. And the thing of it is, people's travel and mobility increased exponentially when that happened. People travel more today than they ever have. The mission was travel. The method was the horse and buggy, and then the automobile, and then the plane and the jet, and I don't know, the transporter from Star Trek or something someday. We cannot confuse the mission and the method. A couple of times in the last couple of weeks, someone has said to me a variation on these words. in the light of where we stand and conversations that we are having. And if you haven't already, I really encourage you to sign up for these house meetings that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. Because it's going to be a good chance to ask questions that I know you have, share fears and concerns, share hopes and dreams, drink some coffee, probably argue a little bit. And then eventually we all hug and make up and remember that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Because a couple of times the last few weeks I've heard these words said to me, a variation on these things. I'm really sad about the thought of closing the church. I've heard that now a couple of times. Those exact words, or a variation thereof. Sad about the thought of closing the church. I need to make sure that you hear this, at least from me. As far as I'm concerned, closing the church is not on the table. If that is for you all or anyone here, so be it. I cannot just wave a magic wand and change your mind. That is not on the table for me. A couple of you here went to Shoreline High School, right? There you are, Sue. Shoreline High School closed. I know it did because I've been in the Shoreline Center and I've seen the artifacts from the school. Ooh, did I make you feel old by saying artifacts? I'm sorry. That was memorabilia. There you go. That sounds collectible. Let's call it memorabilia. Shoreline High School closed. Shore Crest and Shore Wood both have new buildings in the last couple of years. They are not in the same location, the same space, the exact same form that they were in before. They did not close. They were transformed. They were reborn. As Christians, we should know a thing or two about that. Resurrection. New life. New beginnings. Not endings. Or if it is an end, it's an end into a new beginning. Shoreline, the city, still has two high schools, right? We didn't stop having high schools because Shorewood and Shorecrest got new buildings. The mission stayed the same. The method changed. And we need to remember that. We are in the mission, in the field, proclaiming Christ. Of helping people connect to God and grow their faith through Christ, walking in that light. That is what we are about. Everything we do is focused through there. That's our core. What we're trying to do right now is to discern what that means for us, what that looks like for us, and how best to do that. That is not closing. And again, just to say it so you hear it in public in so many words, as far as I am personally concerned, that is not on the table. I have to admit it is an option, but it's not one I'm willing to consider. Unless y'all twist my arm. Please don't. I'm not that flexible anymore. That actually just hurt trying to put it behind my back like that. The hardest part of today's story for us, I think, sitting in this room, reading that story, that parable of Christ, let's face it, we are some of those early hires. Let's just own it. We are. Every person in this room right now has some background in faith, some sense of connection to God or desire to have a connection to God. That's why y'all are here. We are some of those early hires. Which means, though, that we have been promised our reward, and it is good. It is just. Our role is not to determine who is good enough to come play with us and who is not. Who is in or who is out. What counts is faith. Our role is to point to Christ to the best of our ability. As long as we act with that as our primary focus and not focus on which hand gets to point, who gets to point first? Who points best? As long as we don't focus on distractions like that, like those of those first hired laborers in the story, then we are going to be just fine. And so is Bethel. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, you challenge us in ways that we cannot expect, and yet in ways that we know we are prepared for through you. You bless us with opportunities and resources, ways of being and hoping and praying and loving. We ask you to help us to follow you, to listen for your word, and to be aware of the opportunities that we have in you. We pray all of this, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.